Hello, am I live here? Check on YouTube here. I'm live. Can you hear me fine? Do I have thumbs up here? Music and pictures to start. All right, everybody. So I hope you can all hear me well. I'm obviously still very new to this whole live streaming thing, especially when you don't do it very often. It's like relearning it all over again. So today is going to be a shorter video, but I'm just going to go through some of these stones that I long ago sliced open, and I've never really reported on the findings. So just to show you what we're going to go through here today. These are the unlucky specimens. It wasn't something I really wanted to do, because knowing what I know now about these stones, were you able to see that? Wait a minute. Maybe I wasn't sharing the right camera. That's just me. Sorry. I'll get this worked out. All right. There we go, and then I need to change camera, which I've done. So, all right, so you see the main screen, but not. So when I, that's okay, that's the camera that's on me. Sorry, we'll just make that one big then. There we go. Now I got it. So I'm going to show, before I go into these, I'm just going to show recap of a few pictures here. So I went out with this crazy guy, and we took this grinder, and I went out into river bottom, and in the space of about 15 minutes, I collected a dozen stones and brought them back to my friend Alex so that we could slice through them. And I had previously gone into the field in a video that's on my channel called Broken Hearts Tell Tales, and found a number of these stones and pulled them up and broke through them live. And can see here that some of them just look incredibly fleshy on the inside, but because it's broken, you don't really get a sense of the internal structure of the hearts. So I was hoping that by slicing them open, we'd be able to see a bit more detail. And so it doesn't take so long to get through them. The problem, you can see how thick the line is there from the saw blade. So a lot of material is lost. So if you're doing this on smaller stones, a huge portion of it is going to be lost. So there's what I'd like to do. There is a technique that you can either do it with laser or with water pressure. You can cut through stone like you're cutting through with a laser using water. And so then it would be very smooth. And after the fact, I took the grinder and I used a bunch of different polishing, like sandpaper, different grains of sand, sandpaper, in order to polish them up. So I'll show you both what they look like when they're sliced, and then how they looked polished. And so let's see here. We go back to this one here. So we'll start with one of the biggest ones. So if you're not already familiar with the Heartstone research, there's probably a dozen videos on my channel showing all the different specimens that I've found and showing the reoccurring pattern. Now these aren't some of the best. Some of the best that I have in the collection, I haven't wanted to cut open, at least not yet, because I don't want to lose the material. And I would like to, ideally, if I could do a bunch of cuts, so I had, slices of them, so you could go through, because the anatomy of the heart from the top down to the bottom point changes as you're going through it. So if you had a bunch of slices, you might be able to see some detail. So this is a non-polished side, and hopefully the camera will be able to make out some detail here. This is saw blade, and I might, if can you see the, like, there's little details in here. It's very faint. And also there's a curvature of the saw blade. So this is why I wanted to polish them. If you actually, let me just grab some water real quick and I can wet them. Yeah, so just wetting the surface immediately brings out a whole lot more detail, but it doesn't look so much like a heart when you see this particular one. And even once it was polished, there's some blade marks here. But you don't really see a whole lot of detail in this one. But what's interesting is that here you see that it's reddish around the edges, and it's far darker than, well, now this side is wet, but this was basically bone white, and this is like a brown with bits of red in it. So there you can see a little better without the glare. So that's interesting, because the outer layer of the stone is white. Now that could be, you know, oxidization, erosion, but what I've presented in the videos is that the pericardium is the fatty layer that surrounds the heart. And that layer is the thickest of the fatty layers of all of the organs. And I can show that here. Slicing hearts. Where'd it go? This is what happens when you close tabs. So hearts. Mm-hmm. There we go. All right, so just an example of the pericardium. Looked it up on the web faster. So here you can see that the hearts are surrounded in this white fatty tissue, and that can be thicker or thinner depending on the heart and the species. But in general, it's going to be a whiter exterior, and then the fleshy portion is going to be on the inside. So, yeah, the blood is leached out in time. We're going to get to that in a minute, because I think there's more to it than just a leaching out. So here's the next one, and this is the front side. You can see the line, and with this one, there we go, the light. With this one, you can actually make out little bits of blood vessels in here, but it's pretty solid and not a whole lot of detail. This is the other side polished up, and you can see those white lines, which I believe are the blood vessels. So if we go back to, let's see here, this one, I had an example of that. So this is what the blood vessels of the heart look like without the rest of the heart. And you can see this is a decellularized heart. We'll come back to this in a minute, because this is a fascinating thing. And yeah, I just wanted to show you the distribution of the blood vessels. So while this one is Ah, I'm not sharing the screen again. Sorry. There we go. That's what I wanted to show you, the blood vessel distribution through the heart. So this is this classic harp shape. It's not such a distinguished one, but I definitely recognized it as one of the rocks that's exhibiting the pattern. And again, you can see that there's a reddish, fleshy quality to it. And those white, why would they be white instead of red, the blood vessels? Because the blood vessels themselves are made of fat. And according to my theories, all of the different things that are fat, ligament, tendon, nervous system, those are gonna petrify to different kinds of crystal. So here's another one. Again, you can see the faceted front and the backside. And then this one also has been, you can see the saw blade line here, and there's real faint blood vessels in this one as well. This one didn't polish up so nicely because you can still, when the glare hits it, you can see a lot of the saw blades. But it doesn't really seem so heart-like. It's just kind of a mishmash of a lot of different stuff, you know, honestly. But I haven't actually taken a microscope to these yet. That'll be interesting to look at. Hi, Karen. So this one is a little bit more interesting. So this one here, it's kind of a little ugly, but this whole top section you can see is fractured and broken away, and as has this side as well. So you can make out that inward curving that I talk about in so many videos. There's the back side of it. And this one had a lot more going on inside. You can see even you know, the saw blade is there and some of the markings, and then these red lines you can see here when it's polished. This one's showing a whole lot more of the features. So again, these different blood vessels. If you do a cross section like I've done, you might catch one or two lengthwise, but others are going to be going in different directions. So this one is pretty fantastic, I think, as far as showing the what there is to see. Here's another. Now again, these are, like I said, these are not my best specimens. I literally found these in about 10 minutes to 15 minutes in the river bottom, and then took them over to Alex, and we cut through them. So the saw blade again here. And you can see those white lines going through it again. And this is the polished side. And again, exhibiting all kinds of different, it's all reversed, so my hands are going the wrong way, but you know, these different what appear to be blood vessels. So we did them in different sizes. But the fact that so many of these are bone white has been puzzling to me. And I'm gonna kind of solve that mystery in a moment. You can see the, because I would expect there to be some white on the outside, but why would it be bone white through the whole thing? You'd think there'd be, you know, if it was an organ, especially a heart, you'd think there'd be some red inside. There's red on the outside. That's my finger. That's where I slice myself using the the grinder a little carelessly, just to. So that took about 3 weeks to heal. So be careful if you're going to do this at home. I found out the hard way that it hurts when you, I was polishing it, and then with the grinder, it's spinning. So if you get past the center point, the direction changes. So it changed quickly, and my finger went right up against the thing. So anyway, this, not so remarkable as far as showing detail. getting to the last of these here. This one was a bit fleshier. But you can see this, the harp shape, how easy it is to find, how often it repeats itself, this tapering inward on the sides. There's usually a faceting to the front, flattened top. Oftentimes the bottoms will show like a spiral because the heart contracts in a spiral. So you get that spiral twist at the bottom, which looks a lot like a old style propeller. So not so much detail there, but look at how much this came alive. It's actually looks, this one looks, that's not focusing. Come on. There we go. Yeah, you can see there's, it's definitely looking a little bloody in there. There's some blood vessel as well. You know, it's not showing any distinct chambers. I have a feeling that one I showed you at the beginning that was looked like blood in the middle. If I had taken that one and instead of breaking it, if I had sliced it like that, I think I would have seen chambers. That I've broken several since then and never found one with quite so much detail. So I'm kicking myself that I didn't bring that one back. But so here, this one, look at how, I mean, this is really pronounced. This, you know, you've got the saw blade mark here, but that's not saw blade. That's inside the structure of the stone. And there we go. I think I got the tops mixed up. It's not the same one. Anyway, so this is what this top looks like. Again, a totally white rock, and then slice into it, and it's got bits of red. How about that, huh? And almost done going through these, and then we will take a look at what I've found about why they're white. This one again. I mean, what are the odds of finding this kind of specificity of so many rocks exhibiting the same feature? Unless there was some kind of a pattern involved, that it's not random chance that this is happening. Come on, focus. It's like me, I have a hard time focusing. There we go. Yeah, so that there's a bit of black there. I think that's burning from the blade, but I'm not certain about that. It might be inside the stone. So that, save the best for last. So this one here, when I was in the river bottom, I saw this one and I thought, wow, this is a beauty, right? So of all the rocks that I thought, wow, if any of them are going to really show something, I would expect this one to show me more, because you can see the front and the faceting, the tapering in on the sides. There's a curved underside, which I've talked about a bunch. And here are the remains of the aorta and the vena cava at the top where they should be. And so this one, I polished the side. I didn't want to ruin, because I already lost a bunch of material from the saw blade. So I kept part of it unpolished intentionally. I'll show you why, but this is the polished side. And again, looking pretty darn fleshy inside, considering the exterior. And you can see the remains of the blood vessel as well here. Now this, I don't know if you can really see that, but this is crystalline in here. So I think that what we're seeing here is the coronary artery, because if you look at it, this is the reason I didn't want to polish this side. See that? So it's like it's going, you know, across through the thing, and it's come on. Focus. And it's crystalline there. So that's either the top of one of the chambers that had a little space in it, or it's one of the blood vessels. Either way, it would be fatty and it would crystallize. Hey, monkey, 13th monkey in the house, world's best Starfort mapper, par excellence. I'm gonna get him on a live stream someday, I promise. So this one we didn't slice, but I just want to show you that you can see how broken it is here. And, you know, sometimes when you open them up, it's really looking bloody inside. Hey, come on. There we go. Focus. There it goes. So those are the remains of the chambers and the blood. So those are the ones I wanted to go through just to show you. This is another beauty. You can see sometimes they're pink. They'll be even reddish. Some of them will be white. And when there's little spots that have worn away, it'll be red where the white is worn away, because that's the pericardium eroding and exposing the flesh inside. And then the backside, and I didn't talk about suture lines, but those are very common as well. The helical hearts video that I did talks about that and why the heart has those and how that works. So let's go to here. Got some friends coming for dinner, and I'm trying to get this stream in before they show up. They're due anytime. So this is this helical hearts petrified organs video, and I go through and I dip them in water to show the pattern, and then I correlate it to, so this is that line I was talking about in the heart, the suture line where the folds of the heart come together. And so that you can see that video if you like. This was an interesting thing. I found out yesterday that they use plasma to do liposuction. So they're literally burning this fat away with plasma. So that's kind of an interesting thing. You can see it flashing inside through the flesh. Kind of gruesome. But just thinking about, you know, something like a plasma apocalypse, what kind of an event would have led to you know, the petrified organ phenomenon. Plasma is one of my best guesses. So the blood vessels. Now this is what I want to get back to. So this, I saw a number of pictures with these hearts that were bone white without a hint of any blood in them. And I didn't really understand why. And it's a process known as decellularization, where they literally have ways through chemical and other means of leaching all of the blood out of the heart. And it's pretty massive difference. So huge number of these that I find are bone white and don't have any of the fleshy pink color remaining. And I've theorized that's as a result of perhaps going through multiple resets, where there's, you know, once something's been hit and it's turned to stone, it stays as stone. So then the next time around, you know, it's going to be losing more and more of its color. Here you can see that some of the blood still remains, but it's really translucent. The heart is really like a matrix. So they use physical methods and chemical and biological agents in combination to lyse cells, which is to remove the cells, followed by rinsing. And this is a, you know, you probably heard they're growing organs, right? So one of the ways that they do this
has been around for a long time, and people have been trying to create, you know,
can you hear the audio?
Functional organ. But the field has struggled with the ability to make sure that once you get cells into whatever scaffold or matrix you're using, that then there's a problem with getting all the media, the nutrients, all the things that the cells need to stay alive. And so the beauty of perfusion decellularization is we start with all that architecture intact, and more importantly, that all the blood vessels, all the vascular system.
So she talked about all the architecture intact, and that is literally the matrix of the heart. So they've got a way of removing all the blood from the heart, but the mass of the heart is still there. you know, you think of it as heart and muscle, but what do you see when they inject some blood into one of these organs?
They will already have a natural supply and be able to be fed with, you know, oxygen and nutrients.
See that?
They don't have to
It's just crazy.
They have a natural supply and be able to be fed with, you know, oxygen and nutrients, and we don't have to worry. And
so you think of the heart as being a red color, but it's not really.
They have a natural supply and be able to be fed with, you know, oxygen and nutrients.
So when I saw that, and you know, my thought for a long time was that whatever is causing these things to petrify and go bone white is, you know, is somehow leaching out the blood or at least the iron from these hearts. And you know, now you can see what it looks like without any blood in it. And it looks, so then you take that and it's compressed and turned hard. Yeah. So this is, just something unrelated that I wanted to touch on real briefly. I've talked about this before. Observation Deck did a two-part series on geopolymers. And it's incredibly fascinating. Geopolymers are basically artificial stone. And the ancients could make any kind of stone. When I was in Athens, I went to the National Museum once. And they had Egyptian vases in the museum that were made of diorite. And diorite is the second hardest of the stones after diamond, if I'm correct. Cami would know. She's right there in the chat. Hi, Cami. They were incredibly like these vases here, but even finer and very thin and tapered, and then necks that came in. So it was impossible that even if they were using a diamond blade and they had a lathe and they could grind out, they could never have done this out of diorite, because you would break the lip and it, you know, just... It would not be possible, especially when you have a narrow neck. How are you going to get the tool in to hollow out the inside? So when I saw that already, I was like, that had to have been thrown on a potter's wheel. I did some throwing of clay when I was in my teens. There was a pottery place, and I apprenticed there for a little bit. So I saw that, and I'm just like, nah, it's made out of diorite, but they threw that on a wheel somehow. So this ties into geopolymers. I mean, it's not so far-fetched now. We have fillings that are geopolymer, basically, that are plastic of different kinds, that are soft until they hit them with UV light, and then they harden within a minute, and you can walk out and already start to use the, you know, start to chew on the filling. So I think there was a lot of knowledge that was hidden from us, and the proof is in these artifacts. So this two-part documentary, I highly recommend. He shows ancient documents where they've literally got recipes for different things like granite. So that tied into something that I saw while watching Paul Cook's channel recently. He introduced this idea of scagliola, which I hadn't heard of. So basically, like if you've ever played with clay and a roller and you mix it around, after you've done that for a little while, you get this marbling sort of a quality to it. And then they just, like you see in this picture, they just flatten it out and then they wrap it around these posts, and then they have a way to cause it to harden. When that happens, it looks like granite, marble. When I lived in Rome, I would often go into the, to St. Peter's Cathedral, and when you enter, there are these massive, gorgeous pillars that are made out of, I thought it was marble. I didn't know marble came in bright greens and reds and whatnot, but I think it's all scagliola that they're doing. So that's another example of how geopolymers are being used. I think a lot of these old statues, you know, the sculpture. I saw this one also in Rome with my own eyes. If I can, nope, that's not what I was looking for. Let's see, how would I find that quick? Sculpture. Yeah. So I've seen this with my own eyes. And not, you know, not only have they, this is all supposedly carved out of one block of solid stone. And so not only have they created the net, but if you look closely at the net, you can see that it's got winds going all the way around for each one of those different cords. So to me, either they had some kind of a magical petrification technology, or they, you know, they had geopolymers. They either took somebody who was alive and turned them to stone and the net as well, or they had some kind of a cast. They carved it perhaps out of wax or chalk, or, you know, they have all kinds of different techniques they use in sculpting. I'll talk about that more in a future stream, because I'm going to talk about the town that I lived in called Padova, which is about a half an hour from Venice. And not far from there, there was what they called a gypsoteca that was basically where all of these famous, or not all, but many of these really famous Italian statues, they had earlier models that were made out of chalk. And it's fantastic. So that was just pretty much all I wanted to share. Let me just go through my tabs here. Mungo Jupp, he's talked about instant fossilization, instant petrification. I was looking for it. I wanted to pull up a little clip, but I couldn't find it, where he's talking about this place in I think it was in Canada, where a high tension wire went down and there was a row of trees that had been cut down. So there's like a row of tree stumps, and this wire fell down on top of the tree stumps. But instead of shorting out and losing power, there was current running through these tree stumps for something like 6 hours. And what they discovered is that the stumps, not only did the stumps turn to stone, but so did the entire root structure. So I'd like to know more about that and whether it's true or not. If anyone knows of any footage or actual photographs, that would be really interesting to see. But imagine the whole root structure petrifying. And that ties back into a channel I've talked about many times, which is Hangman 1128, because he's going out and he's finding little pieces like this. Oh, wait, let me go big screen with that. There we go. He's finding little pieces of decomposing tree like this, and then finding, you know, 50-foot versions of the same thing. And it's all breaking down in the exact same way, whether you're talking about a small scale, like one of these little trees that's still standing, or something huge. And he also shows all the different ways in which it manifests, the knots of the trees, the sap. The sap can petrify in a whole myriad of different ways. And I think this is Garden of the Gods here. This is, you know, it's amazing the footage that he has. You can just scan through it if you haven't seen his stuff before. To me,
on top of these,
if they were gigantic trees, it's, you know, makes sense that there would be gigantic creatures as well. Yeah, so probably not melted buildings. All right. Anybody have any questions, anything you'd like to say? I'm sorry I've been gone for so long. I just, a couple nights ago, was on with Iron Realm Media. We had a really long live stream that was a lot of fun. And that was the second time I've been on with that wonderful group of people. I'll put those up on my channel at some point soon. And let me just see who's in the chat. If there are any questions, this is a good time to ask. Hey, Queenie. Mutant monkey. So one of the things I'm going to do in a future stream is go through a lot of these hearts with this little guy here. I've done it a little bit, and it's amazing because you look at it and it looks just like, you know, white stone, and you get in a little closer and you can see it looks a lot like fascia and muscle fiber. So we'll look at those together live sometime. Diorite was not used much in jewelry, so Cami hadn't studied it much. Okay. Yeah, Medusa. Maybe Medusa is just a metaphor for the plasma apocalypse or the Phoenix event, as Archaics likes to call it. Yeah. Medusa's electric eyes. Catching up here, there was a lot of messages. Oh. Sections of stone arteries and clay. Oh, that reminds me. I was going to share. I have. So there's the Heartstone criteria list. Someone wrote a poem that I wanted to read, called "A Special Stone," by Nancy Farrell. She says, "I know you're right. I have a much smaller rock collection and some hearts. I wrote a poem for you, and I'm now giving it with a heart stone. It's called 'A Special Stone.' This is a special stone, you see, as it has something in common with you and me. Though you find me everywhere, one would wonder, who would care? Look so closely, can you tell? On the top and the front as well, where the arteries were and a lung used to rest, once a beating heart from the chest. Mother Earth, full of wonders and beauty, has her mysteries as well, spells and magic no one tells. So when you look, what do you see? Looks biological to me." And I think I told this, I read this comment, I read it when I was on with Iron Realm Media, but when it came to the whole theory behind why I was finding the heart stones without any bodies, because that was a real puzzle for me, I couldn't figure it out. Like, why would the heart petrify, but not be with the body in some way? And maybe you would find some separate, but you wouldn't find them over and over again separate. Sooner or later, you'd find a bit of the body attached, you would think. So I wasn't going to just throw out the empirical evidence that I was finding, just because I couldn't explain why it was happening. But, you know, I figured eventually that the body was being destroyed and that the organs were somehow cooking while the outer portion of the body was being destroyed. So I call that boiled egg theory. If you think of a crock pot, pressurized, heat, water, you know, things get very hard very quickly. Like an egg only takes 6 minutes to go from liquid to solid. And if you have 10 times more heat and, more time, what would happen to an egg then? Well, the chest and abdominal cavities are surrounded by a thick layer of fat called the pleura. And then there's fluid and all the organs are attached and floating around in that fluid. And then each individual organ is surrounded in its own fatty sac, like the shell of an egg. So I figured as the outer portion was being destroyed, the organs are literally boiling and hardening. And if they harden enough, then they would turn to stone. Maybe there's some additional mineralization that happens out in nature after the rest of the body is gone. Or maybe it's just already completely stone by the time whatever the process is completed. And so then I got a note one day from or a comment from somebody, and he says, it's petrified dog heart. This is from somebody named Derek. And he says, you're on to something here. A few months ago, I cremated my Rhodesian Ridgeback on a funeral pyre that was 5 foot tall, 8 foot long, and 4 foot wide of solid seasoned oak. This wood is known for its great burning properties. When all was said and done, the only thing left that did not turn completely to ash was her heart. The skull was gone, hip bones gone, completely into ash and unrecognizable from anything else. The body's ashes are quite obvious against the wood, as I used 100% seasoned hand-split oak and made a perfect burning fire. The heart lasted through all the wood and was sitting on top of the ash after very light rain the next morning. It burned for 36 hours and was so hot that you could not get within 25 feet of the fire. Boom. How's that? That's pretty interesting, huh? So if anyone knows anybody that works in a crematorium, I'd be curious to speak to them and ask if they ever like open up the thing afterwards and find like hearts sitting there. It's not something I've heard of, but could definitely be the case. So we talked about that, the diorite. Paul Cook is doing amazing stuff because he's showing that so much of the old world was geopolymer. And once I saw this observation deck video, you know, a whole bunch of things just kind of fell into place, because then you start to realize that these massive megalithic sites like Baalbek and the Great Pyramid, and they didn't have to lift those stones. They could have just created molds and poured them. A lot easier than lifting them. So check this out. they're very, very good. And and then one other thing I wanted to talk about, because I get a lot of before I forget, I almost forgot again, because I wanted to give links. One of my subs started a Telegram channel for me, and unfortunately I'm very rarely in it, but there's both a chat and a biogeology channel where I can post videos and whatnot, and then there's a chat that accompanies it, and I'll put that in the chat right now. So a lot of people have asked me, you know, where they can go to share this stuff, and that's where, but I can't promise that I'm going to be there very often because I'm drowning in social media as it is and have a hard time keeping up with everything. So there's two links there. One's to the chat and one is to the Telegram channel. Wanted to thank, I got a very generous donation from a sub, it was caught me off guard. It was wonderful. It helped me recoup some of my costs for the CAT scan that I did. I was going to show that today, but I don't have time. And I also need to pay for an update to the software for the viewer. It's special medical software. And as far as donations go, they're definitely appreciated. I'll just pour it back into the research. And there's something someone shared with me. They have these new 360 cameras that you put on the end of a stick. And it's like, you know, it's like one of those Google cars for Street View, and you can do it handheld. And I checked out the footage, and they're pretty awesome. So if people are interested in donating towards something like that, I think it's like 300 or 400 euros. But I'll go hike up into the eye and film with that, so that people can get in there and you know, rotate and see things at their leisure instead of just the video footage that I filmed. And also at some point it would be awesome to get a drone. Paul Cook's been getting amazing footage with his drone, and John Levy as well. And there's a lot to film with drones around here. So just something to think about if you've got some extra cash and you'd like to put it towards something like that. Yeah, so let's see anything else here. Facebook does suck. I'm only there for the normies. Ron White, I've heard of. Found Noah's Ark. Was that up at, was it Mount Ararat or something? Mount Sinai. How can I not be rich? One simple reason: I've never prioritized making money, and I've spent 10 years in university going into debt, which I still have. I have kids. They're not cheap. Two big kids. Instead of like just focusing on my chiropractic practice and building it and promoting and advertising like all other chiropractors do, I just kind of wait for people to come to me. And my practice is all referral and internal referral. So other than a website, I don't really even do advertising. So I just have so many interests. My brain is very fickle. I don't lose interest in things. It's more that I get interested in other things, and then other things go on the back burner. And that's why I disappear for months on end. I don't understand this comment. Hate Smart asking for donations, like, WTF did you miss? Hate Smart. I didn't quite understand. I can rewrite the question. Something that's grown into shape versus poured and molded, amorphous. Take a look at this picture, Cammie, on that note, because someone else who's actually a materials expert, not into biology, he said something similar. Oh, there's a fascinating picture. Let me go full screen with that. So that's another real bloody one that I should have brought back and didn't. You know, normally this looks the same, but it's actually a different stone. And in this one, you can see what I believe are the remains of the papillary muscles, which are the muscles that open the heart, the valves to the heart. Going back to boiled egg theory, doesn't take very long. What if you added a whole lot more heat? You can sort of get a taste of it here, Cammie, but I have a higher resolution, better picture of this, but there's like multiple layers here to me that suggest that it grows. This is the inside of the chambers, which are if you can see, it's really bumpy. You would think that if there was some kind of a water erosion that led to these channels, that it would be smooth, but instead the whole inside is bumpy, which is consistent with the inner chambers of the heart, because they're surrounded in what's known as trabecular carne. I've talked a ton about trabecular bone, which is this Swiss cheese-like bone. Well, the same thing happens in muscle, and I thought I had a picture of it here, but I don't. Oh, here it is, trabecular carne. So this would be lumpy when petrified, and this is just a diagram of you can have these little holes and all these folds. And these are the papillary muscles and the valves. So when you see that other picture I showed with the too many pictures. So this is what I was talking about. There's like a layering there that looks far more like it grew than just happened by some random erosion. Telegram link does not work. Okay, I'll do it in a post, a community post. Devil's dollar. Trade the stock market. Yeah, 93 people. Wow, thanks for joining in. I appreciate it. It's fun when there's a group and lots of comments. Heartstone of the Valve. Looks bone to me. Yeah, Ron Wyatt, I'll check him out. All right, any last questions before I wrap this up? I've got some patients coming and then going out to dinner with Alex and Howard. It's gonna be fun. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming. I'm going to end the stream now. Until next time. Where's the camera? Oh, it's over there. Bye.